Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Miss Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we are so excited to join you guys this evening. And I'm going to tell my listeners right up front that, as you may already be able to tell, I have a bit of laryngitis this evening. But we are going to prevail because my wonderful co-host is with me this evening, and I'm so happy about that. We are going to prevail, and we're going to have a great show this evening. I am very excited about the topic we're going to be covering. So, Tony, you're going to be stepping up and doing quite a bit of talking this evening to make sure that I don't overtax my voice.
I'll try my best. It's good to be back.
Yeah, yes. And I wanted to let you know, Tony, some of the people may be in the chat room, but some of the listeners did email me and ask me if you would be back this week. So I just wanted to let you know that they missed you, and I missed you. So we're very glad to have you back.
Yeah, I missed them too. I missed you too. It's just had sometimes in the radio business, you work past your hours and have to do other things. So. We had some things we had to do within the company, and it kept me working. So I had to take care of the things here. But it is good to be back.
I absolutely understand that. And I explained to the listeners last week how you really need to clone yourself. You are in such demand there in Indianapolis. You do so many things, and you do so many events that you're all over the place. So that's a good thing, though. It's great to be needed. But I'm going to just kind of run through a couple of things here really quickly so we can bring our fabulous guests on the line this evening. We're still going to be continuing our Women's Relationship Wednesday segments, continuing through the remainder of the year. And our next relationship guest coming up on the 29th is Jason Miller, and I'm really looking forward to bringing Jason on. His book is entitled Lover or Loser. Lover or Loser. That's L-O-V-E-R, Lover or Loser, L-O-S-E-R. And that's very interesting, and I can't wait to hear from Jason on his perspective on relationships. Next week on the show, we're going to have the founder of eWomen Network, Sandra Yancey. And Sandra and her husband, they founded the nation's largest network for promoting women's businesses, women business owners, and they also put together the GLOW Project, which is a outstanding DVD movie. If you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend that you get it, because especially in these tough economic times when people are really suffering a lot of emotional turmoil and everything, that DVD is perfect. It's right on time. So I'm going to talk to her next week about trying to help women business owners grow their business and, you know, all different types of creative ways to earn income during these tough times when jobs are being lost. So look forward to that. So, Tony, I am going to go ahead and bring our guest on the line. I'm really excited to talk to Dr. Z. Now, I'm not going to even try to pronounce his last name. I'm going to just leave it at Dr. Z. Z as in zebra. I cannot pronounce his last name. It's very difficult, so I don't want to mess it up, and I will let him take care of that when he comes on the line. But Dr. Z has a very successful practice out in California, and he is an expert. He's board certified in alternative holistic medicine. And, Tony, you know this is my topic.
Absolutely.
I absolutely am a true believer in this, and that's, you know, not trying to push my beliefs off on anyone else. I mean, Western medicine is great if you're, you know, pretty much on your deathbed, but even then there may be some alternative medicines that may be beneficial. So I am going to go ahead and bring Dr. Z on the line with us. Dr. Z, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Great.
Can you hear me?
You are. Yes, I can hear you. And my co-host, Tony, is with us, and we are very excited to have you on the show this evening.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. Actually, my last name, if you can't pronounce it, I'll help you. It's Dr. Zajcik. I'm a very German man, born and raised in Germany, so it's because a lot of people have trouble, you know, when they look at the word, trouble pronouncing it, we decided years ago to make this into Dr. Z.
I like Dr. Z. Yeah, that's great. I like that. I think it's got a little catchy sound to it, Dr. Z. Dr. Z, I'm just going to let you tell our listeners a little bit about you and what you do and your practice out in California.
Yeah, let me start with one of my favorite quotes. This is by Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison said, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame and diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease." You know, this is sort of what I live by, what my practice lives by. You know, let me sort of correct a little bit. I'm a board-certified chiropractic neurologist. That means my certification, my specialty is brain, nervous system, functional neurology. What does that mean? That my main focus of my clinical and also of my personal work is how the brain works or how it doesn't work and, you know, how to improve your brain function. Let me put this in a perspective. Why is the brain so important? You know, we have this most incredible thing, our body and the brain. Most of us take it for granted until it doesn't work so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we go back to the very beginning of our human life, at conception, the sperm and the egg meet, and they decide to join and make one cell, right?
Right.
So two cells become one, and then this cell decides to divide into two, and so on. Each cell again divides again and again and again. And then you end up with a ball of cells that call that morula or the mulberry. And then in this morula, a groove forms with a thickening at one end. You know, guess what the groove turns into? It turns into the spine, in the spinal cord.
Oh.
And at the end of the spinal cord, the thickening becomes the brain. And then here's the thing that's the most important. And I hope that you all remember this because it will change your thinking. From the brain, the nerves start growing out through the spinal cord. And at the end of the nerves, guess what happens? The organs grow. Why is that important? There's a hierarchy of events. That means the brain, the nervous system comes first. It means the brain controls your organs, your organ function. It means also when the brain doesn't work, nothing else works. Your organs won't work well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now, Dr. Z, when you say when the brain doesn't work, do you mean as in mental illness or?
No. The brain governs everything. For example, the brain governs, I mean, that's true too, but I mean, make it real simple. The brain is responsible to govern your blood pressure, your heart rate, for example. Your digestive function. If you take the brain away, you have no function.
Gotcha.
So,
that's
why
they say brain dead.
Yeah, when you take the brain, you have no human experience.
Yeah.
You know, the brain governs, obviously, the memory, the thoughts, our clarity of thinking, our moods, our taste, our hearing. So when you have mood swings, you know it's a brain problem. Most of us don't think that way. For another interesting thing, for example, when you have hearing loss, there may be a problem in the ears, but the problem may actually be in the brain. Why? Because, you know, the perception of hearing is in the brain, not in the ear. The ear is just a mechanism where sound waves are transmuted into electrical impulse, and the brain says, aha, sound, voice, car honking. You know what I mean? What we don't think of is that, for example, blood pressure. You know, when you think of the aging population, what do we see? The memory goes, the vision goes, the taste goes, the eyes, the vision goes, but the heart rate goes up. That's not by coincidence because the brainstem, you know, the brainstem actually governs all the autonomic functions that we don't think of, like digestion, hormone production, heart rate, breathing rate, blood pressure, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when the brain slows down, the autonomic functions change, and heart rate goes up and everything else goes down.
Mm.
So instead, when somebody has high blood pressure, instead of asking, well, how can I squash the symptom with a medication, you may want to ask, what can I do to make my brain work better so my heart rate will go down and normalize? That's very different thinking. You follow me?
You know what? Not only do I follow you, but Dr. Z, I need to tell you that I am, I really wish I could become board certified as a holistic medicinal person or whatever you call them, or naturopath, but because I have been studying alternative medicine for the past, I don't know, 15 years or something like that, and what you're saying makes perfect sense because I know how important skilled relaxation is and deep breathing and that type of thing, and that totally explains now why those types of methods can make a difference in blood pressure and can make a difference in a lot of different ailments because the brain is involved.
Yeah, when you perfect. I mean, I didn't know that you were that interested in alternative medicine and
well, yes, I'm very interested in it. I know a lot about it, and I'm just so anxious to learn everything you know.
Yeah, when you, I don't know, did you print out those little sheets that I prepare for my teleseminar? You know, I give a teleseminar every 2 weeks on chronic illness and how to get out of it.
I did not print them out, but I did put my name in there because I'll be joining it.
Yeah, I mean, basically, let me just give you, let me give you a simple analogy. I mean, how I think, and you know, by the way, let me tell you, your title, empowering you through self-discovery.
Yes.
Let me sort of make a circle. I think it's a wonderful theme because you know, in terms of my practice, I always ask my patients when they come in first, do you know what doctor means? The word doctor. And most people say, oh, it means like somebody who fixes me, who can heal me, right? Actually, in Latin, the word means teacher.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't heal. I mean, that happens, you know, on a whole different level. I have nothing to do with this. I have skills developed over the last 20 years of observation. And I've learned a lot with my own suffering and seeing what my patients go through. So I tell everybody clearly that my job is to teach you something so you can be empowered in your own life. Because once
exactly.
you learn something different, you can make different decisions.
Correct.
Right? That makes sense to you, right?
Of course it does. And that's why I try to tell my clients as well. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I do try to tell my clients. So many of my clients, they put their health in the hands of their doctor. Well, my doctor told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. Well, you're responsible for your health, not your doctor.
Yeah, but that's not the most popular point of view these days because most people think, you know, there's the health, ought to be some pill that does that. Some pharmaceutical, we know on TV we're told day in, day out, you know, if you have this, we essentially have a pill for everything. If you're depressed, here's this thing. Then, but unfortunately, there's a little text at the end of the ad that says, you know, if you may experience serious side effects of someone that may be fatal. You know, you might die.
I have never been able to understand, Dr. Z, maybe you can explain to me why. I mean, I understand the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors are kind of all working together for one main purpose, but how can they possibly say that natural herbal remedies are, they haven't been tested and they haven't been researched, so they're not safe? Well, what in the world is safe about prescription meds that have an armload full of side effects that could make you sicker than the actual condition itself?
Right. Well, but that, you know, from a business model, this is pretty clever because you can sell these things forever and ever, and you create new problems, and you can sell new medication for these new problems. I mean, like, I think it's actually, I mean, I do that cheek and tongue, but it's like, it's a brilliant model if you want to make money.
No.
Because nobody gets ever really better, and you create new problems.
That's right. You have lifelong customer.
Anyhow, my job is to empower people and to teach them how to think differently. You know what's the most difficult thing to change, in my experience, is human behavior. Because my patients have to understand they have to change their own behavior. You have to change for your health to change, for your life to improve. That's that simple. And that's not...
Why you're on my show.
Excuse me?
I said, that's why you're on my show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. By the way, thanks for inviting me. You found me on what? Self-growth, right? Selfgrowth.com?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a great place to be. So let me give you a little analogy how you might start thinking. You know, if you own a car, most everybody owns a car today. If you drive down the freeway and all of a sudden your oil warning lamp on the dashboard comes on, right? Well, what are the possibilities how to behave? Well, you could, you know, you could just ignore this, right? Or the worst is if you don't notice it. If you see it, you have several choices. You can either put a piece of tape over that, that way you don't see it. That's actually pretty popular behavior. Or you pull over and you find and check your oil, or you pull into a garage whenever, as soon as possible. You know, medications in my mind is like you put a piece of tape over your symptom. The oil lamp is just a warning light, a symptom.
Right.
It does not necessarily tell you what's wrong. Do you follow me?
Yes.
It's just possible that maybe the oil pump doesn't work, or you have a hole in the oil pan, or whatever. But there's, you know, there's something going on. You better, if you're smart, you pull over.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a piece of tape over it, you won't see the symptom. That except it won't fix anything. This is how I like to think about traditional medicine versus alternative medicine. Because on alternative medicine, in terms of what I do, how I go about things, the only question when you have problems is why is it, not how I can suppress the symptom. So
right.
If you're depressed, to take some pharmaceutical, some chemical that hopefully will do something good, or most always will also create massive problems, it's not really smart in my mind. So the key, you have to stop, you have to pull over and say what's going on. You may have to ask a mechanic with your car. You wouldn't go to a butcher or an accountant to ask him what's wrong with your car, right?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
So symptoms are actually useful because they tell you there's something wrong. If you have a headache that doesn't want to go away, you want to ask, why do I have the headache now, not how can I get rid of it with a pill.
Correct.
Now Dr. Z, I want to ask you this, because Your examples and your explanations are great. The one thing that I know that a lot of folks that are skeptics and or afraid of, because we've been trained in Western medicine, we've been trained to have an idea or an ideal about how doctors and how medicines work. Can you explain how, from the standpoint of somebody making that comparison, because I understand it even better because of my conversations that I've had with Kathy, and she's explained to me, you know, you're doing these things not only from a prevention thing, but you're also utilizing those things that are natural to your body and that won't affect you in a negative way, and they don't have the side effects.
Right.
But a lot of folks don't understand, particularly when this is what has always gotten me, that the pharmaceutical companies will go to the rainforest, or they'll go this place or that place, and they will get these natural things and add all these things that bind to the natural things, and that's what causes the complications. So
you need to make their prescription medicines, Tony.
Yeah, to make their prescription medicines out of the natural things, because a lot of times it's synthetic, but sometimes it's actually the natural things that they've actually added a lot of things to. Can you kind of explain to our listeners really why it's so important to deal with the natural side of things?
Well, I'm not going to delve into how the pharmaceutical industry thinks and what they do. I mean, most everything is man-made chemicals.
Right.
See, the problem they have, you can't sell anything and patent it when it's naturally occurring. So you have to bastardize, you have to alter it so you can say, this is mine. You follow me?
Yeah.
So you can't
yes.
sell something that's occurring naturally in the body as a remedy. You can't. You can't make any money with it because
right.
you can't patent it. So let me go back to a real basic thing. You see, you have to ask the question, what does the body need to function properly? And specifically in my case, being a cardiac neurologist, what does the brain need? What's the nervous system need? I put together a list of things. What does the car need? It needs gasoline, right?
Right.
To function. What else does it need?
Oil.
Oil.
Well, yeah, that's to lubricate. Good. But in order for the engine to actually work, it needs something else. It needs gasoline. What else? It needs oxygen, right? It needs air.
Absolutely.
We don't think about that typically, except when the air filter goes bad. And then the third thing, there's something third that at least most gasoline cars needs a spark to create an explosion. Well, the body is actually similar. So why do we breathe? We breathe because we need oxygen. Let me tell you something. The brain weighs about 2% of body weight. It needs 20% of the oxygen we breathe. So you see how extremely vital breathing is, oxygen. So I put down on my sheet here what destroys good brain function: bad air, high elevation, shallow breathing. If you smoke tobacco, you definitely decrease your oxygenation of your blood because you damage your lungs. Lung disease. Then what is the other thing? The gasoline for the engine, for the brain, what's the brain cell, the neuron need? It needs oxygen. What's the gasoline? It is glucose. It's blood sugar.
The fuel
for the cell is oxygen plus sugar, glucose. Now, the problem with, you know, our standard American diet, what carbs, carbohydrates, sugar. Artificial sweeteners, lots of alcohol, food dyes, processed foods, polluted water, you know, and I put actually on that list also medications. You see, if you take certain medications every day, it's part of your diet. Most people don't think of this, that's actually will have an impact on your health. If you take medications into your mouth, they have to be digested and absorbed, right? So we have oxygen, we have breathing, we have what kind of foods you eat, that's the diet. And what's the next thing? In terms of our body, you need to have good digestive function. Or you can say what makes the brain not work is bad digestion. That's it. In terms of what I have experienced over the last 20 years, most everybody who comes to my office has bad digestion. Gas, indigestion, heartburn, these are all signs, warnings. Oops, what happened to me? Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I've had a little warning here from a voice. Anyhow. So the foods you eat must be digested. I don't know if you're aware of this, what is the most devastating effect on the digestive tract as far as medications go?
Antibiotics.
Right, because what do? Antibiotics destroy...
They strip all the good bacteria out.
Hey, good, Kathy. Got it. So I can resonate with you. Wonderful.
Oh, my God. You don't have a clue. Because when you're done with that, I'm going to come back to oxygen because I want to talk about the pH levels in the body.
All right.
So
okay,
we'll
got
continue
it.
Continue on.
So if you take antibiotics yesterday or 20 years ago, you have a guarantee card that your digestive flora, your intestinal flora is destroyed or not as it should be. If you take antacid or acid blockers, which is very popular these days to inhibit heartburn and so forth, you by default interfere with normal digestion because you need the stomach acid to digest proteins especially. The other thing, the stomach acid has another function. It prevents pathogens like parasites or so to move into the bowel, because they get digested by the stomach acids. So I just want you to sort of see the picture and how I think in terms of how I deal with people, how I deal with my own life. So now let's say we looked at you breathe oxygen, you eat foods, and you make glucose, blood sugar. How do you get it to the cells, to the brain? You need a circulatory system. You need a heart that pumps the blood from the lungs and the digestive system to the brain and to all cells, right? So if you have heart problems or clogged arteries, your brain can't work.
But Dr. Z, even before you get to that deep level of medical issues, heart disease, not even going that deep,
uh-huh.
Let's just talk about everybody that's walking around thinking that they're healthy and they don't have any issues. And that's why I wanted to come back to that oxygen, because you talked about how important oxygen is, and it is. And when I mention pH, if I ask someone what's their pH level, or do they know what pH is, or do they know how to go purchase some of those pH strips and find out what they don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I, the way I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, it's difficult for a diseased body to be, if your body is more alkaline than acidic, that it's difficult for disease to live in an alkaline environment, which is the way your body should be. It should be more alkaline or somewhere in the middle.
In the neutral zone, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, but most people are in the heavy, heavy acidic area because of their diets and everything else that you just named earlier.
Right.
And they don't understand how very important our oxygen depends on that pH being balanced. Can you talk a little bit about that and try to explain it in terms that they understand?
Well, I mean, let's assume that people understand what pH is. It's like there's a range from acidity to alkaline, and you want to be more in the middle. The more acidic you are, the more in trouble you are. Of course, if you're too alkaline, that doesn't work either. However, the thing I wanted to get to, the oxygen, if you don't blow off CO2, carbon dioxide, you know, you breathe in oxygen and you breathe out carbon dioxide. The more carbon dioxide you retain, the more acidic you get. So interesting, if you don't breathe, you become more acidic. So that's real interesting. I see that you can within minutes, you can actually, if you put somebody on a little oxygen and you measure their saliva pH, within 20 minutes, it becomes more and more alkaline. It's pretty interesting. So the key is breathing is of utmost importance. What I do actually in my office, you know, we have an oxygen bar that I sell online and that I offer to my clients also doing my sessions, is just to get them used to breathing more oxygen in per breath. Does that answer your question?
You know, it does, and I'm going to go back to what I said earlier about deep breathing and skilled relaxation because a lot of times what I see whenever I have a conversation about, especially people that have high blood pressure, that if they could learn how to deep breathe into their lower lungs, you know, push their belly out when you breathe instead of breathing so shallow that, because I've done it, I have experienced it myself because, you know, I have some generalized anxiety disorder or so that's what the doctor said I had. I'll just tell you that. That's what he said I had. But when I deep breathe and I calm my brain and I relax and I deep breathe, I don't have those anxious symptoms.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So, I mean, Xanax and Valium and all those things aren't necessary.
I totally agree. The key is what can you do with normal, with what we're doing anyhow or what we're supposed to do anyhow to create a healthy life. That's a healthy brain. But, Kathy, let me add one more interesting thing is, you know, the brain cell is actually a little different from other cells. Like if you compare the neuron, the brain cell with a cell of the skin or the heart, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
What makes them different? They talk electrically to millions of others constantly. You know, that makes it possible that we can be on the phone, we can listen to each other, we can speak. We can think about what you say. You can think about what I say, have a conversation, we can hear. This is actually pretty extraordinary when you think about it. We take it for granted until it doesn't work.
Right.
But what the brain needs in addition to oxygen and glucose is a third thing that most of us don't think about. It's called activation or stimulation. The brain depends on input. In other words, you know why people exercise? Because the brain lights up. There are literally millions of muscle cells and receptors in the tendons and the joints of the body that fire to the brain when you move. So when you move, the brain says, oh, yeah, thank you very much. I feel better already. So if you, and you know, the other thing is when you sit around all day, you don't breathe. When do you breathe? You breathe when you work hard, when you run, when you exercise. You have to breathe because all of a sudden the body says, give me more air. I must have more oxygen.
That's interesting.
So in terms of how to fix the brain, how to make it work better, more oxygen, balanced blood sugar, not this up and down with sugar all day. So it's depending on what you're eating, how you digest what you eat. And then the other thing is input, movement. Of course, other input is sound, it's light, it's vision, it's thinking about things. So you see, one of the problems with our children today, I don't know how old you are, I'm 63. So I grew up, we didn't have TV. You know, I was outdoors all day long as a kid. And we were running around. We were not walking. We were not sitting. Today, look at what happens to our children. They go to school. They sit in school all day. They come home. They sit in front of the computer or watch TV. And less kids are outdoors permanently. You know what I mean? After school. And what you see simultaneously, what's the biggest problem with our children? We've got brain problems, increasingly so. Autism, we got ADD, ADHD, we got childhood depression, and we got all the stuff that's brain-based. And one of the interesting things is the developing brain of a child can't develop properly if it doesn't get that input from movement. You know, we are really moving creatures. We must move. If we, you know, look at our movement apparatus. We are created to move, not to sit all day.
Correct.
And you see there's a tendency now, you know, we used to have, like, problems with the brain primarily in the older generation, the aging population. Now we see, like, increasingly that same issue with young children, real young children, actually. It is really scary.
Dr. Z, let me ask your thoughts about this, and you know, for all of my listeners out there, these are our opinions, and we don't expect you to take our opinions and, you know, do anything that you don't believe in doing. That's your decision. That's your choice. But how do you feel about diseases, brain diseases like Alzheimer's and those types of diseases? I mean, do you think they can be avoided, or is because I've always heard that one of the reasons, or one of the causes for that could be a buildup of aluminum. You know, what is aluminum? It's
aluminum. Yeah, I've heard. I'm familiar with that.
It's a metal. It's a heavy metal.
Yeah.
Heavy metal. Buildup of some heavy metals. What's your thoughts on that? Do you believe that it's genetic, and, you know, it's something that cannot be avoided? If you're going to get it, you're going to get it, and there's nothing.
I'm absolutely. You know, if you are stuck with genetics, if you think genetics are predetermining everything that happens to you, they have no choices. Genetics are maybe 40% of what determines what happens to you. The rest is what you do, how you behave, how you spend your life. You know,
genetic,
I don't know.
Genetics is 40%, and we have 60% control.
And we have 60% depends on environmental stimuli, how you behave in your life, what you eat, how you move, what do you think about, what your environment is like. That's really important.
That,
or maybe even more so. I mean, that's sort of what I live by. You know, I'm 63, and I do everything every day to prevent my mind to go. You know, basically, you know, that picture of being in an Alzheimer's state is not very inviting. So I look at this from the point of view, what can I do, what can you do, what can anybody do? Is you got to breathe, you got to move, you got to eat properly. I heard this interesting thing the other day on TV where they had a boxing ring club for people with Parkinson's. And
yes, I saw that. We had that. We actually have one of those clubs here.
Yeah, well, isn't that amazing? What do? They get people to move, and when they move, they have to breathe, and they have to pay attention. They try to hit that ball, and guess what happens? They actually have success.
Right, right.
And the other thing is, you know, when you're sort of going down and you see your own human functions decline, this is not much fun, so there's another thing. You have to have some hope. Because without hope, you can't really address any of these issues.
Right.
I look at this, you know, who's my favorite patient is like a middle-aged woman, and the men typically, from my own experience and being myself being a man, are much more unwilling to make real life changes, interesting enough. It's the women. It's interesting that I'm on a women's radio show here, empowering. It's for women primarily, right, Kathy?
Primarily, but there are quite a few men that listen.
Yeah, I see. It's just interesting that the men will come to me to get an adjustment. When I talk to them about diet, they'll run away. When the women have a different relationship, I think, with their physicalness, with their physical body, they say there's something wrong and I don't like this, I'll do anything. We men, we're more, you know, designed and educated just to tough it out and say, I can handle that. But to go back to my, you know, so I want to lay out how I think about things. When I interact with patients, how I interact with myself is, what can I do? What can you do to change your brain state, your body state? Is you got to address the basic things. What is it? Air, breathing, the foods we eat, our digestive function, our lifestyle. Do we move? And then there's another thing we have a little less control over, is our environment on a larger scale. We do live in an increasingly toxic environment.
Correct.
But you can do a lot in your own home. You know, Kathy, what you asked me about aluminum. Aluminum is not a good metal to cook with.
No, it's not.
I think it's dangerous. You know, a lot of deodorants have aluminum salts in there. Not a good thing, because the skin will absorb this. The key is you want to avoid anything that can lead to a compromise of your nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
To the degree that that's possible. And in your own house, when you make a decision, you know, we make decisions all day long about what do we do, what do we wear, what do I eat, when do I go to bed, and on and on. These are, I call that micro decisions. And most of them we make without really being conscious of it.
Right.
If you start making changes in those little decisions, you can change your life one step at a time very easily. Or let me put it like this. It's simple, but it's not so easy. You have to, first of all, be conscious of what you do.
And
then,
you know, Dr. D, I'm just going to jump in, if you don't mind, right there, before you go any further, because that's a perfect time to talk about the importance of having control over your thoughts.
Ooh.
Because that's one of the areas that is a main contributor to so many ailments. High blood pressure and high cholesterol and so many ailments and issues that could be avoided if, just like you said, the brain is a powerful instrument. It's the main instrument that creates all of our functions. So if you're constantly walking around in a pessimistic mindset that nothing's right, life is miserable, I'm terrible, or nothing's going to happen good to me, then how can your body be healthy?
Yeah, you ask me. Yeah, do you ever hear the word neuroplasticity?
Yes.
Here's the interesting, from a neurological perspective, this is a dynamite topic. You just saw that thinking is generated in your brain. Does it make sense? It's a brain thing.
Yeah.
When you have a thought, there's a brain event. Now, the brain is an amazing thing. It can respond to. It will change at any age. The concept of neuroplasticity is as follows, that, you know, when you learn a new task, remember when you learned how to drive a car, or even younger when you did your first bicycle and you fell off, you get back on, you fall off, you know, you do this again till one day all of a sudden you keep going. Remember that?
Yes.
When you first try to do something new, it's awkward. It takes a lot of attention to you. You know, what do I do with my right hand and my foot? And then, you know, when you drive a car, learn a car with a clutch, I did that. It's like, oh my God, how do I do all this, right? Till one day you're on the phone while you drive, or you're talking to somebody, and it's all automatic.
Yep.
That's what is meant by neuroplasticity. The brain will lay down new pathways that become automatic. So the more you practice something, the more automatic it becomes. Now, unfortunately, that's true for thinking also. If you have habitual negative thoughts over and over again, they actually lay down pathways in the brain. They happen automatically. You don't have to help. In order to change that, you have to first of all become conscious that this is so, that you have these thoughts, and thoughts are just thoughts. You can, you know, there are all kinds of techniques, but once you understand the danger from a neurological point of view, that kind of thinking actually changes your brain into new patterns that happen all by themselves. And after a while, you can't help thinking unless you put the monkey wrench in there. And how you put the monkey wrench in there, first of all, you have to notice. You say, oops, there's that thought again. And then you have to intentionally put another thought in there that says, I can. If you have a thought, you know, I can't do this, that says, I can do that. It's just a thought, right? You do this habitually, and you will change your negative thinking to more and more positive thinking if you actually try that. It is amazing. It works.
Yeah, it does work. And you, if you could explain just a little bit deeper, because I want my listeners to understand, because whenever I tell my clients that, they, again, they come off with a negative statement. Well, that's too difficult. That's too difficult. But what I tell them is take baby steps with it. Just like, I love that analogy that you used about when you learned how to ride a bicycle, you didn't just jump on and start riding. When you was in junior high school, you didn't just go to your geometry class, open the book, and just work the equation. You had to learn, first learn. So you start with baby steps. You do daily affirmations. Like you said, you become aware of your thoughts all throughout the day. When you get up in the morning, you do positive affirmations. You just say it out loud over and over and over. And you can slowly reprogram the thoughts that live in your subconscious. Isn't that right?
Yeah, exactly. What I've talked about is you can actually change your brain behavior. Your brain, you create new automatic pathways. That the problem for most of us is to, first of all, consider that that is possible. But if you put this just in terms of a learning experience, let's say you're 60 years old, or I'm 63, and you somebody says to you, you know, you're a constant pessimist. You got to change that. Now, that's like learning how to ride a bicycle. You need to say, oh, yeah, well, I got to practice this. I literally, you have to practice till you get good at it. It's that simple. But, you know, Kathy, the problem is what I said in the beginning. The most difficult thing for all of us is to change our own behavior because it requires intention and attention.
Right.
Without self-awareness that these thoughts are going on and on. Here it goes again. You know, I'm miserable. Nobody loves me. I have to eat a worm or whatever that song goes, right? Unless you're aware of this, and unless you have a little discipline says, oh, yeah, here it goes again. I can put a different thought in there. And then you take a deep breath and says, oh, yeah, I can. And then next second that negative thing is going again, then you have to do it again. It's like you get on the bike, you fall off. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. You fall off, and then you have to get back on. You fall off again till you fall off less.
And, you know, Dr. Z, I'll put this example of myself. I used to have an anger control problem. And for me, I knew I needed to take control of that situation. So what I did was I told myself whenever I got myself in a situation where my anger would flare up, I started saying to myself, whenever I started feeling that way, I was going to replace it with a positive thought or a positive action. And what it ended up doing is it ended up retraining my brain to think that whatever I was facing or whatever I was dealing with, it couldn't be negative because it was positive, or I would find something positive in the negative and wouldn't allow it to affect me that way.
You know, that's beautiful.
Now, Dr. Z, and before you even answer what Tony just said, and listeners, for the listeners that heard what Tony just said, I've only known Tony, I think I've known Tony maybe 3 years. Now, in that entire 3-year period, Tony has told me that before, that I can't believe he ever had an anger problem, Dr. Z. I had never seen a more calm person as Tony.
Well, congratulations, Tony. Wonderful.
He changed it. He changed it. So, Tony, you need to tell the listeners how you did that, because I have never, ever seen any signs of anger. And when he told me, oh, I used to have an anger problem, I didn't believe him.
Well, and it was kind of, it's what Dr. Z was talking about. And now from knowing it from a neurological standpoint, I totally get why it happens and how it can work. But for me, as I said, I just retrained it. I had to make the conscious effort, first of all, or I had to have the conscious thought that I had a problem. I needed to change that behavior, because I knew that if I didn't change that behavior, it would escalate, because that's what was going on. So I decided at that point, first of all, I had a desire, or as Dr. Z mentioned, I had hope that it could happen, and hope was a driving force. So then I put that in my face and put it in my place and decided at that point, whenever I get in a situation, and here's the thing that you said, Dr. Z, that you hear people talk about, and it's so elementary, but it is really so rudimentary to getting it done. Those deep breaths that you talk about, take a deep breath and calm down and change your thoughts. That works so well, because the one thing I did learn is as I was taking the deep breath, it gave me an opportunity to calm. It's as you said earlier, it slowed my heart rate, it lowered my blood pressure, and it calmed me down. And it also gave me an opportunity to put in place the positive affirmations and the positive thoughts that I said, when I face situations, this is what I'm going to do. So when I started feeling that escalation of anger, I started breathing differently, and then it enabled me to start thinking differently. And because those thought processes changed, I was able at that point to change my behavior.
You know, I like to sort of add a different component. You know, what motivates people to actually to make changes, it can be very different. For me, most of my changes I made because of deep despair, because my life didn't work anymore. I couldn't bear the pain. I used to have chronic pain problems you can't believe. You know what I do now every morning? You know, I work out. I do physical exercise. I dance to great music, and I have a headset on with a what we call a personal portable oxygen bar. So I breathe better air while I work out.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. You know, in the beginning was like the same thing. You know, I had to force myself. Every morning I said, I hate pain. I hate pain. I don't want to have pain anymore. So I started working out with this thing. I've done that now for 2 years. It's a habit now. I can't imagine not doing this in the morning. It's like,
wow.
It's now, it's just what I do. Because, you know, repetition, the brain will respond to, you know how it changes? Repeat, repeat, repeat. You know how you learn a language? You got to repeat the words. You got to repeat the grammar. You got to repeat the sentences. And all of a sudden, one day you start speaking sentences, and it's the same with everything. You got to, repetition will change the brain. But you know what makes it easier? If you give it oxygen and balance blood sugar at the same time.
Well, I wanted to just make sure that I gave that testimonial, because Tony is a walking testimony, and
yeah.
I'm so glad you told that story, Tony, because
yeah.
I mean, as long as I've known Tony, and it may even be closer to 4 or 5 years, I don't know, I've known Tony a long time, and I have never seen any slightest sign of anger. So
yeah,
for
awesome.
Him to turn that around is amazing.
Hey, Tony, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Tony, what made you want to move from your anger? I mean, what was the driving force for you?
Other than
tearing
things up?
Yeah, I got tired of having to pay for walls and doors and going into the hospital for stitches, for putting my hands through windows and things like that.
Yeah, or the police gets on your case or whatever. I mean, yeah, there comes a point where it says that doesn't work anymore, right?
Right, absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
now,
good for you.
Let's kind of shift gears here a little bit. I want to talk about the immune system and autoimmune diseases and those types of things. What can you shed light on that about? I want to understand how autoimmune diseases work.
Well, let me put it simply like this. The immune function is governed by what? The brain.
Well, your brain.
What?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any difference. You know, I stop calling diseases by names. I says, you know, the first thing we do, you've got to normalize your functions. You do everything in your power to make your brain, your nervous system, your body function better. And that requires discipline and insight. Now, does that solve everything? If you have genetic predisposition for something real strong, can you necessarily fix that? But you can improve your life quality no matter what happens. I promise you.
I know.
You can improve your life. Talk about cancer, right? I mean, in my practice, I don't speak about cancer. Cancer does not like oxygen, for example.
I know.
The Germans found that out, like in the 60s, that this is so. Now, to turn that around and say, well, maybe a little oxygenation might help with that. That, I don't speak about this directly because, you know, I don't want the FDA on my case, except I look at this in a large picture. If you improve your overall brain and body function, certain things are less likely to happen. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does to me.
So that's simple. That's what I live by. That's what I try to teach my patients. That, you know, I do teleseminars. If I could, before we get off the line here, maybe talk a little bit about my teleseminars.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because that's really where I like to reach larger groups of people. You know, and also I can sit in my underwear, my jammies,
yes.
And I can have a bad hair day while I talk to hundreds of people. I mean, I think that's pretty cool. And everybody has a phone. They can also listen to me. You know, radio talks, they're actually broadcast over the Internet, right?
Yes.
That is correct. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and say that now, and then we're going to say it again at the end of the show. So give us your website, Dr. Z, and I have a chat room here, and I'm going to go ahead and type it in the chat room for the people that are visiting and coming in and out of the chat room to let them know. And your teleseminar is on what day?
Okay, my basic website is real simple. It's www.drz.org, stands for Dr. Z, drz.org, right?
That's great, okay.
And to find out about my teleseminar, that will be this coming Sunday. I do this every 2 weeks at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That is the web address where you can connect with this and find out how to get phone numbers and all this. It's www.askdrzeisig. I spell that, A-S-K, and then D-R-Z-E-I-S-C-H-E-G-G. If that was too fast, I'd do that again. So it's ask, and drzeisching.com. That's askdrzeisching.com.
That's .com, not .org?
That's .com.
My
main website is .org. This one is askdrzeisching.com.
And that's the 19th?
Yeah, that's this coming Sunday. It's the 19th, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The way that that particular website works, you can ask your health question, and then I collect those and I answer some or most of them during the teleseminar.
Okay.
That's pretty cool because that way also it gives me something to think about what's on people's minds. It's pretty amazing. Some of the questions that people pose to me are heartbreaking. You know, most people actually, you know who comes to my office and who contacts me over the Internet is people who have tried everything and they don't know what else to do there because there's no solutions that are obvious.
Dr. Z, have you ever had any patients that have had multiple sclerosis?
Yeah, same thing. You know, that's a devastating problem. It's what can you do to improve life quality?
Yeah.
That's that simple. And you know what? It's amazing what happens if you actually change some parameters. More oxygen, more better diet, good better digestion, you know, and you know what? Lights come on.
Yeah, a very, very, very dear person, very close person in my life has a disease. Actually, it's Devic syndrome. It's a form of multiple sclerosis, but it's a little bit more devastating. And I gave her, or I explained to her, the importance of digestion and having healthy flora in your bowel And I gave her a very strong dose of acidophilus, and it has made a difference. It has made a difference. And, you know, I think I've got her attention now, and I'm wanting to start. Well, I'm just saying, you know, because people have to see some proof before they believe. And, you know, I want to start trying some other things, so that's why I'm asking, you know. And I know oxygen is a good one, so I'm thinking maybe liquid chlorophyll.
You may actually ask her maybe if she is interested to listen to my teleseminar on Sunday. Because we have a little more time to go into, like, well, how this all works and why you have to make basic lifestyle changes. That, you know, that's where you start.
Okay. You know, because I know chlorophyll is a very, very good, it's a good start for getting more oxygen into the blood.
Right.
You know, bringing your body more in balance from a pH perspective.
Right. Okay. How'd you, let's see, Kathy, what do? You said you have clients. What do you do?
Well, I'm a life coach. I'm
a life coach.
Yes, a life coach, basically, it's a coach. If you look at a ball game and you see athletic coaches on the field trying to help the players get better at what they do, well, a life coach is someone that tries to help individuals live their life more fulfilling.
Achieve their goals.
Yeah, because this show focuses on topics related to self, health, and wealth.
Right.
So anything that you're trying to accomplish in your life, a lot of people don't understand how to set goals. A lot of people don't understand how to get started. They don't understand how to stay on track. They need accountability. They don't understand those things. So that's what a life coach does, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, you know, you could call me like a health coach, actually. That's my role. I hold people accountable. They're like coming here locally. I try to spread the word, you know, you need to make some simple changes. They're simple but not that easy, so you need somebody to help you along. I mean, you know, need actually an accountability partner in your life. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, we're sort of on the same wavelength. I just do this primarily in the neurological health arena.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about hormonal suggestions, maybe some natural suggestions? I know, I understand the brain is the main functioning organ that governs everything in our bodies, but as you get older, your hormone levels do drop. They do change. You know, women go through menopause, and men kind of go through a similar version, too, not as severe. But what are some of the things that, because you really don't have to have those horrible low hormone symptoms as you get older, what are some of the things that people can do without going the hormone replacement therapy route, without going the traditional route?
Well, you know, Kathy, let me go back. I always start with the basics. You know, if for me, you know, I deal with natural progesterone and some estrogenic compounds that are natural. However, you know, I don't start there ever because it's not really useful if everything else doesn't work well. You follow me?
Well, that's right. You have to treat the whole person.
Yeah, you must make sure that there's a basis for the body and the brain to respond. If you don't create that, that's, again, like trying to cover up the symptoms of. It's not by accident that certain things happen when we get older. So what can you do to counteract that? You got to go back to the basics. Oxygen, nutrition, blood sugar, digestion. And movement, activity, physical activity is extremely important. And will change, you know, when people are depressed, you tell them to do something, right? I mean, that's one of the classic things. Get up and do something. It actually, if they do this, it works. Because it changes your brain state. All of a sudden you say, oh, yeah, I feel a little lighter. I can actually be useful. Maybe I'll do this. You know, that's the secret is, really, to address the basic questions. You know, I personally am a little hesitant in terms of my practice to interfere and try to affect hormones directly, because I don't know enough about that, to be honest, to propose that, because you can also create negative changes.
Right. And Dr. Z, I'm not sure what's going on with my time clock here, but
I think we're nearly done. I think I have a 3:59 here.
Yeah, because I have an hour long show, but it's it's not showing that the time clock is not showing. So I don't want to get messed up here. Tony, if you don't have any other questions, you know, we're going to go ahead and sign off because it, even though the clock doesn't show us running out of time, but I don't want to run out of time.
I just want to say, Dr. Z, just thank you because I've had the experience just in conversations with Kathy and just in research and things like that. I've learned a lot more. You've opened my eyes even more about some of the things that I know from a listener standpoint. Our listeners are intrigued, and I want to encourage them also to make sure that they go to your teleseminar and check things out this Sunday because I'm sure they'll be enlightened. But I just want to thank you for giving our listeners an opportunity to get a different perspective. I mean, I've heard about this perspective and had many conversations with Kathy, and I think having you on has given us an opportunity to broaden, I think, the eyesight of a lot of folks that have had a kind of a narrow vision. So thank you for being on with us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. No problem. And I'm just going to, I hope we don't get cut off. Someone in the chat room asked a question, Doctor, how do you feel about superfood?
I don't have any personal experience with it.
Yeah, and
I can't answer that.
I don't think I've ever heard that phrase.
Yeah,
he means whole foods. He probably means whole foods.
I don't think so. I mean, I've heard the word, but I don't know anything about it. And, you know, there's so much out there. I always go back to the basic things. It's what you eat, how you breathe, and on and on. Remember, that's the scheme. And, you know, you address those items, and your life changes, I promise you.
Right, yeah. I've heard of whole foods. And whole foods, in my opinion, you know, the way I understand whole foods are, you know, they're just not white flour-based. You know, they're just not full of white flour or sugary products. They're natural, and they either come from the ground or they're plant-based or something like that. So I don't know what superfoods are.
Yeah, for me, you know, how I look at this, the less processed a food is, fresh, whole foods, that's the way to go. We bake our own bread. You know, as far as I'm a German meat eater. We buy half a cow at a time, put in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
That's grass-fed locally. You know, that's how we like to stay healthy, you know, from the diet point of view.
Exactly.
But, the diet, that's such a big deal because there's so many opinions about what that is, what appropriate diet is. That's sort of a very interesting territory where I just tell people, I teach you what I have learned that works when they come to me as patients or clients.
Yeah, and I have to say this, and Kathy knows this. Well, because we were talking about the sugars and the glucose levels and things and everything, so I had to get tested to find out whether or not I was a type 2 diabetic and had to go through what was called a sugar detox to get prepared for the test and did that for like 7 days and within the 7 day period lost a considerable amount of weight. Well, of course, I've been around health for a long time, so I know that the initial weight loss was water weight and so I knew that was going to happen. So I just decided I'll just go ahead and stick with this. I'll stick with eating the right things and getting rid of the wrong things, the sugar-based things, the processed foods, and all that kind of stuff. And it's been about two and a half weeks now. And within a 2.5 week period, my energy level is up. My cognitive level seems to be much better. And in that 2 week period, 2.5 week period, I've lost 20 pounds. That's
good for you.
And I'm eating all day, every day, and I'm just making sure that I eat the right things. And I haven't had a potato chip. I haven't had any kind of cake or any of those kinds of things. I eliminated the processed sugars and basically at very low levels of sugar. And it has changed how my body has been reacting to so many things. I'm not as tired as I've been in the past, and it's just amazing. What you're saying is absolutely right, and we hear people saying this, but I think particularly Americans have this ideal of wanting everything right now and being fast food magnets. So let us go to something that's going to be real fast, and we all know that the stuff is prepared the wrong way and has the wrong stuff in it, but we want to take it in abundance. And because of that, we're paying the price. I was 50 pounds overweight. I'm working my way down. But
you
I
lost
feel
20
so much
pounds
better.
In 2 weeks?
I've lost 20 pounds in 2 weeks. In two and a half
good
weeks.
For you. See, now you know the – see, but you understand that all the secondary things, you have more energy, your cognitive power.
Absolutely.
You're treating your brain as it ought to be treated.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, very important. Well, looks like that's a major breakthrough for you. Let me ask you, what motivated you to do that, actually? What was the driving force to do this particular thing?
The driving force for me was I had a dear friend who put the motivation in me and had a fear, and I had a fear too. I don't want to be dependent on medicine. I don't want to be dependent on anything other than just living my life, and I don't want to have to live my life because of medicine. I don't want to have to take a shot or any of those kinds of things. So it was a wake-up call for me.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, fear is a good motivator, isn't it?
Absolutely.
No kidding. That's sometimes you know what finally makes people move. Yeah, that's true.
And if I could just jump in here and say as far as the change Tony made and anybody else that may be listening, one of the key, and you touched on it, Dr. Z, you talked about it earlier, one of the very, 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 very important key components of health is our digestive system. Because I have a lot of clients, I'm not a doctor, but they, you know, when we talk about their life and their situations, they say they don't feel good or whatever, and I don't mean to get graphic or anything, but when they say they have a bowel movement once a week, I mean, come on now. I ask them, I say, do you eat once a week? Well, no, I eat three times a day. I said, okay, well, where do you think the rest of that is going? It's backed up in there.
Yeah, not a good thing, is it?
If we could just, no, it's not a good thing. And if we could just learn how to keep that flowing and keep that moving and keep that clean, that area clean, we would have so much more energy. We just like Tony said, we would have more cognitive ability and everything. And that's where the digestive enzymes, because we killed off all our stomach acid by taking antacids, and you know they probably don't have proper enzymes and they don't have good flora in their colon and so many different things. And if they could just learn that one piece.
Okay, Kathy, I need to go. Looks like we're, what, about an hour?
Yeah, and I'm not sure, like I said, I'm not sure what's going on with this clock, but you're right. I don't want our time to run out here. Thank you so much, Dr. Zeev. I really appreciate your time and your information. You have been fabulous. I got your website here. I got the information. Sunday, 5 p.m. Pacific time, you said?
Yeah, it's California time, 5 o'clock California time. It will be an hour, hour and a half, depending on how many questions I get.
Great.
Ask a lot
great,
of questions.
Great.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. The more questions
now,
I have, the
you
more.
Can you get to your teleseminar website from your drz.org website?
Yeah, I have a menu, I think, that's, you know, ask Dr. Z. That, yeah, you can ask me a question that puts it right to the where he didn't write
great.
Down the other one. Hmm?
Yes, I wrote them both there.
Yeah, okay, but, yeah, you can get from the main website to that also. I think it's the top link is ask your most important question. That
excellent,
leads to the
excellent.
Okay. All right. Kathy.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Zeev. You have been fabulous. We greatly appreciate your time this evening. And we're going to sign off for now. I am Kathy Holloway-Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
Yeah, bye, Tony.
And
nice talking to you. And bye, everybody.
Bye-bye,
come visit
Dr.
our
Zeev.
Website.
Yes, absolutely. Please come to the teleseminar. I'll be there
okay.
as well.
Okay.
And everyone
take care.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
We will see you guys next week.